This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake. This is where all the data gets crunched to hopefully make you a better fantasy football player. And the good news is we do all the work for you. So all you got to do is understand the data, which we help you do, and then figure out how to use it on your fantasy football team. And again, we give you the guide to how to do that. And joining me each and every week here on the Data Lab, he is the professor. It's John Bush. John, welcome back to the show.
I'm excited, Dennis. It's week 7. Lots of bye weeks have happened, and we're kind of like, okay, I'm getting into the bye week routine here. Last week was a little jarring trying to figure it all out, but I'm starting to get back into bye week form here. You know, kind of like a horse, you know, you need a little training and then you working up to really run that marathon, that Kentucky Derby there. You could go that long distance. So I'm getting ready for this long distance until the playoffs here. I'm ready to go now. Positive.
Hard
energy
to believe we're already hitting the halfway point of the season. That is crazy. It just feels like we're looking forward to the season. But in fantasy football, Professor, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is not that they don't look at data. It's that they look at the wrong data. And on fantasy football Twitter last week, I saw people making all these declarations about how many top 12 finishes and using the rationale that if you're a 12th place finisher in any given week, you were a starting level running back or quarterback or wide receiver or tight end on a fantasy football team. And if you're counting top 12 weeks, you are doing it wrong when it comes to trying to find weekly value. And I had an article this week that shows why, because from the top quarterback to the 12th, it's a drop off of over 50%, and you're still grading them the same way. And it's even worse at the tight end position. I really wish people would stop looking at top 12 finishes as if it matters at all.
You and I talked about that, and I did that in some of my lessons, the percentage drop off. And I know you took that ball and ran it with your metrics, but I've been doing that for quite some time, years, in fact, before we even probably knew each other, Dennis. I always pondered, but I never worried about these artificial, you know, like top 12. I mean, to me, I don't know what that means, because if something's dropping so much, that's just not something that I'm focused on like that. So I guess I was avoiding that because I'd already known the drop. I mean, it's like jumping off a building. It's like, well, I'm halfway down, I must be okay. No. It's a steep drop down, and it makes a big difference versus a gentle slope, because having plotted data over my life in science, you know, the slope always, the rise versus run, I believe, is, if I remember my math right, and it makes a big difference on that if you plot those drop-offs. And I don't know what people are doing. I assure you, if your team has the 12th best quarterback, tight end, running back, and wide receiver, say it's the four-player league, and you're number 12, you're not – I mean, you're in trouble. You've been in trouble, and you're not getting out of trouble. You're in a deep hole, and you just can't proceed like that at all. I agree.
And there's such a dramatic – drop off at tight end more than any other position. The drop off from tight end 1 to tight end 3 this season, is equal to the drop off from tight end 3 to tight end 26. There's just no value in looking at that stat. But one stat that I think gets really overlooked, and we look at touches, we look at targets, we look at all of those things, but there's one requirement to scoring a fantasy football point. You got to be on the field. So you have to take an offensive snap to even have a chance of scoring a fantasy football point. And the way you look at this snap data is very unique, because one of the other things that I think you really need to be aware of in fantasy football is how quickly things change. And I love the way you are looking at a last three games and getting an idea of where a team is and where a player is when it comes to snaps. That is a brilliant way to look at this data to see the trends that are happening right before our very eyes.
This will be in my snap report since we are a week, I've got 6 weeks. It seems to fall. You could split the 6 weeks into two. And routinely in my tracking of things like snaps, I do that. So week eight will be another. You could do four and four. At some point, you still, probably four games back as far as I'm going to track. But I like to see what's happening. Two things. I'm concerned that people in the first two or three, four games got an idea about a team behavior, players, and that idea hasn't gone away. So they're trading, they're setting lineups and things using stale data. What happened week one and two shouldn't be affecting what we're doing this week as much as what happened the last couple of weeks. So you've got to stay current. And so I look at the usage by snap data, and I look at the difference between, last 3 weeks and the first 3 weeks, and I plot that, and I compare those two metrics, and I could go at the position and team level, and I could do player level as well. And my report will have it all. I will look at the position within teams as a global kind of a top down, and then I'll look player specific, and we'll be able to look at that data
And
as
I
well.
love the way this concept is. And it actually, we've talked a lot about how handicapping and forecasting for fantasy football is very similar to handicapping horse races. It's just different analysis tools that you use, it's different statistics. But when I was handicapping harness horse racing, I would look at the big picture, the last eight races for a horse, to sort of grade how well that horse would do against the rest of the field. And once I narrowed that group down, it was all about what have they done in the last three races leading up to tonight's contest, if those races were within a certain time frame. In other words, it couldn't be 2 years ago, that you're looking at the data from. But that's similar here to how you're using the snap data, because when I look at the changes for a team and how much a team has changed, it tells me a couple of things. First of all, look at your data for Atlanta, and it tells me what we're seeing with that team in that they are slowing the games down. And by slowing the games down, in other words, working the clock and having fewer possessions for themselves, but also for the opposition, that might be a team going forward where if my team is playing against them, and I had a marginal matchup guy anyway, I didn't have a big stud, I was just looking for a flex play, I might avoid them against Atlanta. Even if the matchup data says it's okay, those games are shortening up. They're not as many snaps involved in the game, and that to me is sort of the data that you want to watch. But when you look at the last 3 weeks, that I think tells you what the current trends are, and that's what you really need to be going with.
Well, if you, I pulled a different figure here for you. Just I've got running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers separate by team, and I've got each team's RBTEs and WRs as well. So you can look at it, and then of course I've got player data. So I've got three lenses, three different pairs of glasses. If you get old like me, you need readers and and long distance. Fred Sanford used to do that on Sanford and Son. Red Fox, one of my favorites in the 70s, in the old days, you know, didn't have much else to watch on TV. And he'd have three or four glasses, and he'd do the funny shtick where he had to pull them out and look at them and throw them away, and finally found the right pair when he was trying to do something. And that, to me, is how I like to look at slices of the data cake here. And I like to consider. So Atlanta is still using, as far as if you look at snaps, they want to feature the tight end. They want it. They really do. That hasn't been working for them as much till last week. But that's what they want. And so you can catch that. And if you look next door to Arizona, look at the wide receivers. They have really declined in the last 3 weeks compared to the early. So they got off good, and now the wide receivers are an issue. But Zach Ertz, look at that. He is really starting to take off, and look at his the tight end differences is the best. They're above, the last 3 weeks versus the first three weeks. So lately, tight ends have really got their due in Arizona. You can go and look at all this and start correlating players to how the team is behaving as well.
In Arizona specifically, they were playing a lot of four wideout sets, and they're still playing four wideout sets, but this data shows that it's happening in fewer plays every game here now in the last three. And they've been working the other tight end in a little bit more. And just because they have two tight ends on the field doesn't mean they're lined up at the tight end position, but it shows up in the data. So Zach Ertz is being played like a wide receiver right now. They're keeping another.
Yeah, he's as much as – of course, Marquise Brown won't be there, but okay, at 68 snaps. I went to the player data now, and McBride is there at 20 snaps.
And look at how they've increased his snaps, and some of that is to get Zach Ertz out more as a wide receiver, away from the line.
Yeah, look at the first 3 weeks, Trey McBride had 6 snaps total, and the last 3 weeks, it's, what is that? That's 60, almost 70. Is that right? Something like that? About 70 or so.
Huge increase, as you'd expect for a young player.
So something's going on there. And so I like to get a flavor for the whole thing. So that's why I do the top-down team level, position level, then I lower myself into the player level. So I like the top-down approach, and I believe the reason I do that, two reasons. First, I think that's how you can get a holistic view of the team as a system. This is a system. Fantasy football is a weekly system problem. And that's why we preach weekly, and that's why I like to look at the system itself, how all the pieces, when the car's running, it's not just the engine going, there's other things happening at the same time. And so to understand the efficiency of the whole system understands how the car's running. And that, to me, is why I do that. So you can use my snap report to kind of follow. I mean, look at Eno Benjamin last week. Everybody said, oh, he's He's going to get lots. Yeah, he did. Look at it. 62 the week before, 37. So Connor was out, and basically the rookie that we were hoping to get a lot more out of, Ingram, we only got 9. So they were kind of fishing him out a little bit, but nothing dramatic yet. But they fished him out for the first time. So if something were to happen, he might be a deep dynasty stash. You know, that's how I would look at some of this, from a redraft, from a weekly, and then use this as a dynasty to kind of consider what might happen here in your playoffs.
And here's a move in dynasty where I start to see that he didn't show up in the score sheet as really scoring many points, but he shows up here on the snap data as getting used. This is a guy that I wouldn't mind making an offer, a cheap offer, to try to pick up, because you know he's next in line now. And Eno Benjamin, I was really disappointed with the performance. When I looked at the points, I was like, was I wrong on Eno?
But I like that snap, 62.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
When I looked at the data, when I looked at just the points, I thought, oh my gosh, I missed on this one. But when I looked at the snaps, I knew that it was just a matter of the game didn't go his way with getting a few plays. And it was similar when you look at MVS from Kansas City, and if you break down even further and you watched that game and you see how it was going, MVS, he was out there on the field. He was out there almost every play. And the snap data shows that he was out there every play. He even was planned to be scripted for a couple of plays when they got pressure on Mahomes and changed the play. So you ended up with MVS being scripted to be open, but they couldn't get him the ball. And then he had a couple of other plays where he should have made the catch, and the defender was just stronger than him and took the ball away. So my theory that MVS was set to maybe have a good matchup here was based on the fact that I knew he was going to be on the field. I knew they were going to try to target him. I knew they were going to try to script him. It was a loss from the standpoint of he didn't produce a lot of points. But when you look at the snap data, he was at least on the field to generate those points. And that's what you want going forward with your fantasy guys. Because if I had seen this snap count all of a sudden drop down to 40, for instance, then I start getting worried.
Yeah. And just to let you know, look at Sky Moore. He's picked up 44 in the last 3 weeks compared. So that gives me hope if you have him in Dynasty. And that might be, you know, if maybe an injury away or two from being relevant. But if you've got a deep bench, he's somebody that I'm liking with my metrics to say, hey, he's improved. I mean, you're not going to hit on all these, Dennis, and that's just the way it is. But it's better to invest in him than maybe some others that are maybe declined in the last 3 weeks. Like, look at Hardman. He was number 3 last week, but he has declined in, you know, versus the first 3 weeks by 17. So, snap. So, Sky Moore up 44, Hardman down 17. One wants to kind of, you know, we all want to guess future, right? That's part of forecasting. Moore could make, you know, maybe make that move to be the number 3, and he's an injury away from being really relevant as a number 2 type on a big, you know, powerful juggernaut offense. So he might be a deep play right now, and you could still probably get him, you know, cheaper than if he takes off or if there's injuries, you won't be able to buy.
No, and that's exactly the move to make. Is this is the time that you go and you look to see if he's available from the team that owns him in Dynasty, because this data tells me one thing. They have a plan for Sky Moore. The other thing is, he probably, in the next 3 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if his snap count over the next 3 weeks, if he stays healthy, exceeds Mecole Hardman's, or at least is more even with Mecole Hardman's. It'll be interesting to see if Kansas City starts playing two of these scat backs and we see some of MVS's numbers coming down or Juju's numbers coming down. They love having MVS on the field because he's a good blocking wide receiver. But Sky Moore is going to get more of the action going forward, and that's what this data is showing us.
Yes, and this is an example. We can't cover it all. You don't want to hear us covering it all because you'd be asleep. So I put this out. I color-code it. You have to do some deeper thinking. Get your diary out. Make some. If you make a move for, say, Sky Moore, put down why. Okay, week 7, I looked at, you know, Dr. Bush's data. He says this. Okay, I made a trade for him. See what happens. That kind of thing. Does that work for you at the end of the season? That's what you put in your diary, is the reasoning, not just, you know, somebody on Twitter says I should pick him up. Well, that's pretty weak sauce there. I want you to put in your diary that there's a reasoning, a scientific reasoning for the moves you're making, not just, you know, you like the name. It's like going to the racetrack betting on the first gray horse. A lot of people do that, you know, horse for the course and, you know, whatever. They have all these little things and, you know, first gray horse. Come on, what happens if there's 3 gray horses that are first in, you know, race 5? You know, all, which one do you bet all 3? I mean, it's crazy crackers. So I want you to use this kind of metrics and put in your diary what you're doing and why you're doing it. And this is a way that you can chart some of this to see if it's working for you, right? If it doesn't, you shouldn't pay attention to my, because maybe I'm confusing you. I don't know. Find what works
and
for you.
And this kind of data is great for using for players that you're concerned about. If you're not seeing the
definitely.
If you're not seeing the production, maybe there's an answer in the snap counts. Or if you're seeing a drop in snap counts for the veteran and an increase for the rookies, that's when I start getting worried about that KG veteran. So head on over to the scienceoffantasyfootball.com website. Check out the professor's snap count data, and you can find new ways to put it to use. And then hustle on back here to For Frequency's Sake next week for another edition of the Data Lab.
Folks, this report will be out Friday or Saturday, so be looking for it. Have patience.